Part 2. Third Year. "Harry?" Dumbledore said, as Harry came up the steps of Hogwarts. "I'm sorry you had to come back under such dreadful circumstances." "I know. It's awful. I can't believe that Edward was killed like that." Harry followed Dumbledore into the castle, and then up into his office. He put his pack down on the table. Unfortunately, he was a pureblood with views that were unpopular in some circles. Harry heard what he was saying. "I thought he was killed in a magical accident. Something related to his job?" "So it was designed to look." Dumbledore's expression was bleak enough to tell the tale, and Harry was willing to believe he knew the truth of it. "How did you find out about it, then?" "I've heard rumors that Voldemort tried to court Edward, to convince him to join his cause." "As if that was going to happen. Voldemort would have better luck in recruiting me than he would have Edward." Of all the upper-crust purebloods Harry had met since coming to this time, Edward was the most modern and progressive. After being rejected, Voldemort wanted to make an example of him, to show what would happen when he was defied. Harry had been trying hard to avoid the whole issue of Voldemort. There was nothing he could do in this time to help, not if he were to kill him in the future. It was also possible he could destroy his own timeline if he made the wrong move. But this hurt. And given how poorly his search had gone so far? This was the second summer he'd spent abroad, looking for information on time travel devices, and not finding it. Maybe he should consider doing something for the cause. It was just that he wasn't ready to give up on the idea that maybe his luck would change, and he'd find a way back. "Is there nothing you can do to stop him?" "There are things in the works. I suspect it's not going to be enough, at least for now. Are you interested in helping fight him?" "I don't know if I can. I don't want to..." He trailed off. At this point, he wasn't sure what Dumbledore knew or thought he knew. Harry had been careful, but it was impossible not to let some information slip. "You must do what you think best," Dumbledore said, clearly disappointed. "I wish I knew what that was. I'm still hoping to figure something out." But he knew the truth. It was becoming more and more unlikely that he'd find a way home. "Let me know when you've put something in place. At least I can try to help." Edward's funeral was well attended. Several people gave eulogies, including Dumbledore and Clarice Masden, the Deputy Minister of Magic. "Rose, I'm so very sorry. If there's anything at all, that I can do, please let me know." Harry put his hand in hers and squeezed gently. She dabbed her eyes with a lace handkerchief, looking as if she'd aged 20 years.
"I don't think so. Thank you for coming, Harry."
"It's the least I could do. I admired Edward a lot. He was a man of strong convictions, a good man, and he was so kind to me." It was hard to put into words what Edward had come to mean to him, both as a man who stood firm in his conviction and as the grandfather that he never knew he was.
"He considered you family, and you are. I hope you know that."
She shouldn't have been the one reassuring him. Before Harry could thank her again, James came to stand beside his mother. He was tall for 13. His eyes were red-rimmed and lacked their usual animation. "Sirius and Remus are going to stay over." She turned to him and put a hand on his shoulder. "What about Peter?" James shook his head. "No, he's going home." "All right, then. Run along and see to them." Rose looked up at Harry. "Come back to the house? We're expecting family and friends." "Of course." When he would have moved away, she put a hand on his arm to stop him. "He put a provision in his will for you." Harry swallowed hard. "He didn't have to do that."
"No, he didn't. But as you said, he was a man of his convictions."
A wave of guilt washed over Harry.
"What are you researching?" Severus said as he sat down at the table next to Harry during the second week of classes. Madame Pince had ordered several books for him, and Harry was only now getting a chance to look through them. Between being away all summer and then the funeral and a day getting Severus his robes, he'd had no time left to read. "Same as always." Harry closed the book gently, but he wanted to slam it shut and stomp on it. None of the information he was hoping to find was in it. He was running out of options for places to look. "You know, maybe you should get some expert help." Severus smirked at him.
"Are you offering to help?" He didn't expect Severus to take him up on the offer.
"Maybe. What exactly are you looking for?"
Severus's eyes were gleaming at the prospect of helping him. Or maybe he was just interested in the subject matter. Even though it was clear that Severus wanted to help him, the ethics of allowing it worried Harry. "This is by no means required of you. I want you to understand that up front."
"I get that," said Severus impatiently. "I'm just trying to help you out with a project. No extra points or anything. Tell me what you're looking for."
"Spells are devices that move people or objects through time." Harry didn't want to be suspicious, but Severus rarely did anything without a reason.
"Theoretical or actual?"
Severus pulled out a parchment and started to scribble some notes. "Both, but more emphasis on the actual device."
"I'm assuming you don't mean a time-turner," Severus asked without looking up.
"Something similar, but with more of a range and time span, and something that could go forward in time as well as backwards."
"Right then."
Severus stood up and disappeared into the stacks, returning with a huge book called The Complete Magical Bibliography.
"Why that one?"
"Start with all the articles and journals that even remotely fit the category you're researching, and then move on from there. That's the way to do research." He said it as if he were the teacher, and Harry was a not very bright student. Harry wondered whom he was quoting, or maybe he was just quoting himself. That would be like Severus. It was hard to believe he was only a third year sometimes.
"You look pensive," Dumbledore said as he sat down beside Harry on a low wall outside the castle. It was still warm for so late in the autumn.
"Did you know that Edward left me a quarter of his vault?" He couldn't even say it without feeling like a fraud.
"It's public knowledge with the reading of his will. The reaction to it has been mixed, too."
"I've read the papers. The general consensus seems to be that because I wasn't legitimate, Rose could file a grievance with the Wizengamot and probably win. Except that she said publicly she's not going to do that." Dumbledore clearly agreed with her.
"She should. It should have all gone to her and James."
"James has more than he'll be able to spend in his lifetime. I think it must have given Edward peace to know he was doing the right thing for you," Dumbledore said quietly.
"Perhaps, but..."
Dumbledore looked at him sharply. "If he wanted to do it, then why let it bother you?"
"It's based on a lie."
They had never discussed it, but he had to know. Harry felt it every day. "If you remember, I suggested the relationship. But I also sense that you are a close relation to him. Perhaps not a nephew. Am I wrong?"
"No, you're not wrong. But if he knew
what your true relationship to him was, then he wouldn't have wanted you to have his legacy?" Dumbledore's tone was skeptical, as well it should have been. It was amazing what the man knew. Harry looked away.
"No, I think, after knowing him, that he would have helped any family member. But the vault should have gone..."
"Edward died because of what he believed. You yourself said he would have helped you."
"You always do make it difficult to argue with you."
As much as he wanted to hang on to his guilt, Harry had to conceive that Dumbledore was right. If Edward had known who he was, he might have done even more. Dumbledore chuckled. Nice to know I'm consistent. Good practice, everyone, Harry called to the group of Ravenclaws he'd been coaching. As much as he liked teaching, he loved coaching so much more. Everyone who was there wanted to be there and wanted to learn to play better. Professor! Belinda Montgomery was the fourth-year reserve seeker for the team. She was tiny, as most seekers were, and had curly brown hair that stuck out everywhere. It reminded him of Hermione when she was that age. What can I do for you, Miss Montgomery? Harry hoped this wouldn't take long. He wanted a shower and a cup of tea before he had to supervise tonight's detentions. I know you know Snape. Oh, Merlin, what had Severus done now? Yes? She cleared her throat. He's a pretty bad flyer. Harry had heard that, and that Severus was teased unmercifully by James and the Marauders for it. James, of course, had been the seeker for Gryffindor since his second year. You see, I know he'd like to be better at it, but he won't ask for help. She looked down, blushing. Okay, he wasn't even going to crack a smile. It was nice to see someone thinking kindly about Severus. So you're asking for help for him? You know, he won't love you for it. She nodded. Better that than have him injure himself falling again. It's just that he's kind of... Harry managed to keep a straight face. Temperamental, perhaps? Most of the other third years are easier to deal with. But on the other hand, he is the top student in his year. And that clearly was a point of pride for the whole house. I'll have a word with him and see if I can help. He didn't relish the thought of that conversation. Severus was just as likely to threaten to hex him as he was to accept help, even if it were something he wanted. Thanks. She looked ridiculously grateful as she walked away. As if thinking about him could conjure him, Severus appeared as soon as Harry opened the side door. What did she want? He asked, falling into step with Harry. She thinks you need to learn to fly better. Severus's jaw tightened, and Harry could almost see the annoyance start to build in him. I know how. It's not like I want to play Quidditch or something. Why does everyone care? It's one of those social things you do at school. I'm not social. Most Ravenclaws aren't that social. Why do they all want to fly? Harry sighed. He did understand, but... Sometimes you need to do something so that you can get by. You're going to be dealing with most of these people for years to come. Besides, do you want to keep falling off your broom? Fine. What do I need to do? He glared up at Harry as if it were his fault. Why don't we meet on the pitch after dinner? No, I have homework. Harry exhaled. Why was everything so difficult with Severus? You can consider this homework as well. Only if I must, I'll be there. Severus walked away, the hem of his robe flaring out in a fair imitation of the teacher's stock he would have someday. I'd like to bring this meeting of the Order of the Phoenix to a close. Dumbledore banged on the gavel, and the room erupted into agreeable chatter. Harry hadn't planned on attending the Order meetings, but Dumbledore had mentioned it to him in passing, and he hadn't been able to resist. Maybe he could help in a minor way. At least, that's what he had told Dumbledore. It was such a shock to see all the people he'd known in his time here, only now so young. Charlie and Bill Weasley played with blocks by the fireplace. Molly's hair was so bright it almost hurt to look at. Arthur looked the same, only younger. But he spoke and acted exactly as Harry remembered him. Frank and Alice Longbottom had just started their auror training, and Kingsley Shacklebolt had only been an auror for 2 years.
"Harry, it was good to meet you," Kingsley said, holding out his hand.
"And you as well, Kingsley." Harry shook it. His grip was firm and warm.
"If you don't have any plans right now, some of us are going to walk into Hogsmeade to get something for supper. Maybe a pint."
Right on cue, his stomach rumbled and he laughed.
"Yeah, that would be great."
Harry walked behind Andromeda and Ted. Tonks, or Dora as they called her, had been born over the summer. Even though it had happened some time ago, rumor had it that Andromeda was still shattered over the rejection of her family.
"So, Harry," Kingsley said as he held the door to the three broomsticks open,
"do you enjoy teaching?"
Harry breathed in deeply as he went in the door. The warm, spiced apple smell reminded him of other times.
"Quite a bit, actually. I'm kind of surprised by it, too."
"Why?" Alice asked as they sat down.
"During aura training, we all have to teach a few classes in Defense Against the Dark Arts for Hogwarts."
They hadn't done that in his years at Hogwarts. It was a good idea. Harry was sorry it had fallen by the wayside.
"Really? Why?"
"It's supposed to teach us to deal with children and their questions," Kingsley said. "I think Alice likes it a lot." She nodded, smiling widely.
"Yes, that's what I was saying. If I weren't an auror, I'd teach."
"First, you'd have to get Dumbledore to hire you. Though he can't seem to keep defense teachers," Ted said.
"He'd hire me, I think," Alice laughed.
"Not that I'd give this up after all the years of training." It was interesting that no one thought the position was cursed, even though there was a new teacher every year.
Harry nodded.
"It's only two, and then two more as an intern," Kingsley said. "I'm glad to start complex investigations this year."
"You know, at one time, I thought I'd like to be an auror," Harry said, a bit wistfully. Every now and then, he missed the problem-solving of a complex investigation. Mostly, though, he missed the camaraderie of teammates. It wasn't the same with his teaching colleagues.
"Why didn't you join? I know you came from the States, but I think they must have Newt's equivalents."
"They do, and I had the marks, but it just didn't work out."
"Sometimes it just doesn't," Kingsley said with a look of commiseration, like he understood that life wasn't always what you wanted it to be. About halfway through supper, it occurred to Harry that Kingsley was flirting with him. The only reason he realized it was because it had gotten more and more blatant as the meal progressed. After more than 2 years, the pang of missing Ginny wasn't as sharp as it had been when he'd first lost her. He hoped she'd moved on as well. In truth, she probably thought he was dead. Was he ready for another relationship? He wasn't sure. Even in his time, he'd found Kingsley attractive. The younger, less careworn version was even more so. The stirring in his groin was not unpleasant at all. It would be nice to get close to something other than his right hand. Laughter brought him out of his thoughts.
"What's so funny?" Harry asked.
"You should pay more attention." Kingsley looked into his eyes.
"You're right. I really should."
"Mr. Snape? And Miss Evans? What a surprise! How many times have I caught you out after curfew this year?"
Harry put his hands on his hips and tried to look stern. This was the third time he'd caught them together. He wondered if he set them up to actually become more than friends this time. The idea bothered him on some fundamental level that made no sense at all.
"We were just talking," Lily jumped up to say.
Harry had long ago stopped thinking of her as his mother, just like James wasn't his father. He knew logically she would be someday, but this little girl, with her big green eyes and bright red hair, wasn't yet.
"And what was so important that you had to be out after curfew?" Harry asked, glaring at both of them. "That's private," Lily said, but she looked down and then back up at him. As much as he might have liked to make an exception for Severus, it wasn't that late. He promised himself that he'd treat all the students the same. "I think it's time you both got back to your common rooms. 5 points from each of you."
"I'll talk to you later, Sev."
Lily ran off. Harry was surprised when Severus didn't stalk off after Lily left. "Mr. Snape?" It wasn't her fault. He looked down at his feet and put his hands in his pockets. Severus knew better than to use that with him. "Of course it was. And yours as well. You were both out after curfew," said Harry, frowning. Severus stood his ground with his arms folded across his chest. "I was the one who asked her to meet me. I wanted to talk to her."
"Is something wrong?"
Harry gentled his voice. He found that strategy was surprisingly helpful with many students, and especially so with Severus. His face turned red, but he shook his head. "Are you sure?" Harry gave him one more chance.
"It's just..." Severus turned away. "I know it's not really a problem, but it's just..."
Harry waited. It was getting late, but he wanted to encourage Severus to talk to him. Severus sighed heavily.
I think I might like boys better."
"You know that in the wizarding world that won't be a problem. Even among purebreds, a person's preferences were just that." "My father is Muggle and would not approve." That was okay. Harry didn't approve of Tobias Snape, but he'd been told more than once there was nothing he could do about it. "Don't tell him."
"I wasn't going to, but what if he finds out?"
Clearly, Severus was afraid that his mother would give up his secret. Eileen Snape hadn't much will left, but what she had was all directed towards her son. "Don't tell her either," Harry said. "Or at least, wait a few years." Severus nodded. "Do you care?"
"No, of course not. Why would you think I would?"
"You're Muggle raised."
"True. But I've been in the wizarding world for most of my adult life. And besides, I'm dating a man myself."
Severus's eyes widened.
"You date too?"
"Just like a real person," Harry laughed. He'd heard somewhere that all teenagers saw adults as cardboard cutouts that moved. Experience had taught him it was a universal truth.
"Who are you dating? Anyone I know?"
And it was clear Severus was going through all the teachers in the school. Harry couldn't hold back another chuckle. "Not that it's any of your business to ask, but I'm dating a man named Kingsley Shacklebolt."
"The Auror?
You know him. He taught a couple of defense classes when I was a first year." Severus smirked knowingly.
"You know, he's pretty hot."
Harry could not believe that he blushed. Congratulations are in order to Mr. Snape. He had top marks this year amongst all third years by several points and is awarded 25 additional points, Dumbledore announced to the rest of the years. But Harry wasn't listening. He was so proud of Severus. The final announcement caught his attention. Ravenclaw wins the House Cup. Dumbledore waved his wand and all the banners changed to Ravenclaw colors, blue and bronze. The applause was thunderous, and Harry looked down as Severus was patted on his back and had his hand shook. Poor boy looked a bit stunned. Last year, he'd had to share the award with Lily Evans, so the additional points had cancelled each other out. This year, it had made a big difference, since the houses were so close. "Well done, Mr. Snape," Harry said, and shook his hand too.
"Thanks!"
Severus's cheeks were red and flushed with excitement. I'll meet you in August to buy your books and robes. I'll owl you when I get back into the country. Harry started to move away, but Severus put a hand on his arm. Really, thanks for everything. It was my pleasure to see you succeed so well, Mr. Snape. And it was. Harry had known that Snape was a good, even great student, but to see Severus excel so brilliantly underscored just how important a little acceptance could be.